bit of this in devotion on Tuesday night, and I'm heading a little bit different direction with it this evening, but I'm wanting to continue somewhat in the train of thought. I started, how many knows, devotion night? Those are like the 10-minute devotions, so it's not like they get real deep, but we're going to go a little bit deeper tonight. So Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9 is where we're going to start. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank You to God, Lord, for Your presence to God, Lord, Your power, Lord, and the opportunity we have to be in Your house tonight. I thank You to God for the songs, Lord, and the testimonies of the saints. I pray to God that You'll anoint me to minister to God, clear my mind. Help me, Lord, to deliver what You've laid on my heart. And I pray to God that You'll edify us. Lord, You'll encourage us and challenge us. Lord, we give You all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. How many has ever had something happen to you that you thought and said, "Well, that's a strange coincidence"? How many has ever used the term coincidence? All right, we all have. And the other day, Brother Michael Touchton was out on a job site and they're building a barn. And a guy shows up and begins to talk to him about building a barn. And the more that they get to talking, the more that the guy that showed up begins to realize that he had already talked to Sister Andrea a couple months ago. And she had already bid his barn. And now she was talking to Brother Michael. And he was like, "Well, I think we've already give you a bid on your project." And he said, well, the customer, he said, "Well, you know," he's like, I'm really needing somebody to finish out the inside of my barn." And so Brother Michael said, "Well, have you talked to Brother Jason?" And he said, "Well, no, I haven't talked to him yet. So you know what? I talked to the customer." You know what? We call those things coincidence. One that spoke out to me the most is design. You see, in this walk that we begin to lead and in this life that we begin to live, there's only so many things that our finite minds can comprehend. And you know what? Honestly, that's a small percentage of things that happen to us of what we can actually comprehend. And I was reading something the other day. And it's either reading or listening, I don't remember what it was, but they were talking about the fact that they're almost about to be able to build a supercomputer that will be able to compute as fast as the human brain. And they've been working on this thing for years, and it's massive, and it has cost billions of dollars just for a computer to get almost as good as your human brain. Think about that for a minute. See, what's going on there? Well, finite man is trying to imitate something that is a grand design. And even with all the computing power that we have in our brains and in this, you know, I think I have one of those little pea-sized brains, you know. It's some days it just doesn't feel very big. But with everything that we possess and everything that we can do and all that we can accomplish and how we can communicate the things and the skills that we begin to learn, all of that. And many times we look at things and we shrug our shoulders and say, what a coincidence. Well, I'm here to talk to us a little bit tonight and to preach to us tonight about the fact that there is a principle found within the Word of God that eliminates all coincidence. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Everybody say Boaz. I know all the this is a lady's love story, is in the book of Ruth, you know, in there. And oh man, how many ladies have found your Boaz? Sister Sarah, raise your hand. There we go. And so there's this kinsman. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So I want to stop right there for just a second. We would term this as a coincidence. It just so happened that Ruth went out. I want to tell you this. Not every field around Bethlehem was Boaz's. There were other men who owned fields. There was the Bible states that this was the harvest of barley, and everybody was working in the fields, and every field that was around there had somebody working in it. It was a busy time for Bethlehem. And the Bible says that her hap, well, what is hap? I mean, it's anybody use that term lately, you know, hap, her hap. We say we happened. That's how we say it. It happened. Well, her hap, or the coincidence was, she just stumbled into Boaz's field. Now, I want to back up for just a second. You see, I want to talk about Ruth for just a second. You see, Ruth didn't come from Israel. She was a stranger. She was a Gentile. She was a heathen. And what's interesting about all of this is that when Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem, they left because of a lack of harvest. They went to Moab. But then in Moab, Naomi lost it all. But in Moab, Ruth found love. And she found a family. And she found Jehovah. And so when it came time for Naomi to come back, and Naomi said, "You need to stay. There's nothing for you in Israel. There's nothing for you in Bethlehem." The one girl, she stayed. But the Bible says Ruth clave. And she said these words. She said, "Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." We see what was interesting about this is that Ruth didn't understand the concept of sowing and reaping. The only thing that she understood was the fact that she had found something in Naomi that had stirred something within her heart that caused her to begin to search for something she didn't realize she was missing. And so what I begin to find is that as they begin to come to Bethlehem, she begins to do the logical thing of someone that is a widow, and she begins to go find a field to work in and begin to provide for her and Naomi. Well, you see, what was going on in the background was that God was beginning to implement a master design. And so as Ruth begins to leave the house that morning and she begins to go out, not knowing that her steps were being directed of the Lord. And the Lord began to direct those steps into the field of Boaz. Psalms 37:23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Now I want to back up. In verse 9 of Luke chapter 11, and Jesus said this, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." You see, this is a law. How many understands what a law is? It means it's something that is set in stone. It's something that cannot be changed. This is a law of the Word of God. This is a biblical concept and a biblical principle that God has instituted since the creation of mankind. But you see, as men and women, many times we forget the law of God. When He requires of us and He asks of us, He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Many times we think of this as a command, but really it's an instruction that coincides with another law. You see, because the repercussions of being holy as He is holy means that your steps begin to follow after His steps. And when your steps begin to follow after His steps, things that we call coincidences begin to happen. But the reality is, God's grand design is being worked out in our lives. You see, God's principles, His precepts, His laws, and His commands, they're not there just to say it. They're not there just to say, "Well, God said this." No, these are instructions to abide by, to live by, because God has a master plan in mind for your life. So you see, what I find about Ruth is that Ruth, even though she doesn't understand it, even though she doesn't know it yet, she's already begun to walk in a path that begins to change her mind, begin to change her attitude. Her gods, they're no longer the gods of Moab. She begins to seek after the Jehovah, the one true God, and she is forsaking all that is behind her and reaching forth unto some things that are new to her and she don't necessarily understand, but she knows this is the proper steps and this is the way. And because of this, well, she just coincidentally, oh no, we got to quit that. Even the Bible says her hap. No, her grand design was she ended up in the field of Boaz. And so she's out there and she's working. I want to encourage you, ladies, it's good to work. Oh, I'm sorry. And men, it's good to work too. Amen. There we go. I knew I was missing something there. And so we find that Ruth, she goes and she begins to glean. And Boaz comes out to the field and he talks to the master of the servants and he says, "The Lord bless you." Oh, you know, that might probably be a good greeting, you know, to, I need to work on that in the morning with Robert and Lucas, you know, on the stairs. Instead of, "You bums, what are we going to do today? You know, why don't you get to work? Why don't I say, Lord bless you?" And you know what they respond? "The Lord bless thee." It was a nice little blessing first thing in the morning. And so he's coming out and Boaz is looking over everything and he's seeing the harvest and he's seeing the reapers and he's seeing the gleaners. And then all of a sudden, that's not a normal face in the field. You see, as you study history, when one began to glean in a field, they always gleaned in that field. You see, this was a principle that God had laid down for the preservation of the widows and those that could not, you know, provide for themselves. And it wasn't a free pass for them, but it was a way for them, because they couldn't own fields no more. They couldn't get out and have everything that the husband only provided. And so this was a way. But once you picked a field, you always stayed in that field. So he sees a new face, and he said, well, who's that? And they said, well, that's Ruth the Moabitess. And Boaz already knew the story. He had already heard about what had happened. He knew why Ruth was there. And so he kind of makes a little mental checklist of that. And then he goes out and he begins to talk to her. And he says, now I'm kind of paraphrasing just for sake of time here. But he says, you know what? He's like, I've heard the report. I've heard that you've done right by Naomi. I've heard that you're pressing after the one true Jehovah. And I want to tell you, don't go to anybody else's field, because you're welcome to be in this field. And Ruth is just sitting there. She's just like, she's humbled. She's just like, man, blessing, blessing. I mean, all this blessing has fallen to me. Well, he feeds her lunch. He calls up there and feeds her lunch with all the rest of the hands. And they get back to work. And he pulls the reapers aside. And he said, hey. He said, you let her glean right behind you. He's like, and not only that, you drop a few handfuls on purpose. And so Ruth's just out there. You know what she's doing? She don't understand it, but she isn't going to say no, Brother Isaac. And she's up there, and she's just gathering it, and she's getting it all together. And boy, she's got a big old armload, and she goes back, and she threshes it all out and bags it all up, and she goes back home. She comes in the door, and Naomi said, well, how'd it go? Ruth's like, this is what I got. And Naomi's like, It's not a custom to bring that much home, Ruth. It's like, what happened? To tell me everything. And so Ruth begins to tell the story. And something sparks in Naomi's heart. And she understands it's not a coincidence. She said, the hand of the Lord is in this. Well, can I fast forward for sake of time, because I really got to get to where I want to preach. We fast forward and we find that Ruth marries Boaz. Everybody say Boaz. There we go. And then God blesses that household. And they have a boy named Obed, who begets Jesse, who begets David, who after a whole bunch of begets, makes it all the way to Jesus. You see, you say, well, we all know this story, brother. I'm getting somewhere. I don't believe in coincidences, church. I only believe in grand design. But how many times do things happen in our life and we look at them and we say, well, that's a coincidence. Can I piggyback off Brother Pepper's testimony of Mike Dewey? Many people can say, well, that's a coincidence that he just calls, you know, out of the blue, ain't talked to him in 30-some years, and that's just such a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, church. You know what, Brother Tim? It wasn't a coincidence you was out shoveling snow and got to witness to somebody on the front steps of the church. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence when someone comes in and they pray for healing and they receive their healing. That's not a coincidence. You see, it's many times blessings begin to happen, things begin to happen, and we write them off as coincidence. But what I want to tell you, church, is that the reason like things that happen like that happen is because somebody's been putting in the work. Somebody's been putting in the effort. Somebody has been sowing. Somebody has been knocking. Somebody has been asking. And you know what? As God begins to look down and he sees his saints beginning to exercise the principles found within his word, when we begin to sow, when we begin to ask, when we begin to pray, when we begin to knock, when we begin to get a hunger to see something something happened. Guess what? We shouldn't be surprised. When God begins to move, and when he begins to work, and when he begins to break someone in the door, because it's not a coincidence. God is working his designs. Galatians 6 says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what? I'm pretty sure I've had that told me in a lecture by Brother Pepper at some point in time in my life. You know what? I'm probably going to end up telling it to my sons too. Many times we use the scripture in a negative connotation. How many has heard of wild oats? You've been sowing your wild oats. You know, it's like those things just pop up from nowhere. It's like, whoa, where'd those come from? Well, you sowed them. But I wanna tell you something. You don't have to sow to your flesh. You can sow to the Spirit. Not all the sowing we do has to be in a negative connotation. In fact, we're not supposed to be sowing to our flesh. We're not supposed to be sowing in sin. But as Christians, we are to sow in righteousness. We're to sow in godliness. We're to sow in holiness. What I begin to find is that this principle that's found within the Word of God is whatever you put in, you get back out. Verse number 8 says this, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I got a question for you now. Is your life just a series of coincidences? Or have you seen the hand of grand design? You see, last time I preached about intentional. And apparently I haven't got past that yet. God must be, he's still dealing with me about it. Because I kind of forgot what I preached last time. And then I got all my message together and then I went back and looked. And I was like, this is kind of along the same lines. You see, when we sow to righteousness. Can I talk to you young people for just a minute? When we sow to our spirit, godliness, holiness, righteousness, goodness, peace, love, joy, I can go all down the list of the, we got some young people over here too, but I don't want to tempt anybody, all the young people, there we go. When we sow those things in our spirit, you're going to reap God's blessing and God's goodness. But when we sow corruption into our minds, we sow corruption into our spirits, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap sin. It's a real simple concept. But how many times does sin pop up in our life and we're like, oh, what a coincidence? No. You see, what I find is that God looks down on his children. And he's looking for individuals like Ruth that says, you know what? It's not about who I used to be. It's not about what I once was. It's not about what I'm leaving behind. But it's about what I'm pushing towards. And you see, Ruth, she left it all. But she reached with everything she had. And bless her poor heart, she didn't understand the rules of sowing and reaping. And that's the most beautiful thing of this story, because what did we find her doing? We found her working. We found her living for God. We found her doing everything that she knew how to do in order to take care of Naomi, in order to save God, or to serve God. And what I begin to find about that is the same concept comes back to us. Well, it's just another church service. Let's see. See, we got two calendars now. We're getting real important here. Okay. Yep. Sister Sarah has devotion this upcoming Tuesday night. It's just another devotion night. And let's see. Next Sunday. Oh, yeah. Sister Lindsay. Yeah, she always leads worship service. I'm sure it'll be good. She'll bring some new song. We'll like it. Oh, yeah, Sister Sarah, she's going to sing the PM song. She's going to sing out of the hymnal. We love them hymnal songs. We can become so accustomed to our Christian lifestyle that we fail to sow and that we fail to invest and that we fail to push or to press. And then coincidentally, we wonder why we don't have revival. Coincidentally, we wonder, well, how come we just didn't have a blowout service? We wonder, how come we're bickering so much? How come it seems like just can't be happy anymore? How come it seems like it just, I don't know, it's just kind of dead. You see, we can become accustomed. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. It didn't say quit well-doing. What it said was, don't be weary in well-doing. You know what? I have learned personally, I'm going to meddle here for 5 more minutes. I've learned personally in my life that when there is no passion, everything's weary. When there's no enthusiasm, when there's no excitement, everything is a drudgery. You know, there's some things that I dearly love to do and enjoy in life. But Brother Tate, there's some days that they're just not very exciting. And while you do them, it does nothing for you. Because that day just lacked a little zing. Can I tell you something? Sometimes your Christian walk's going to lack a little zing. And sometimes it's going to be less than enthusiastic. And some days, it's just not going to be all fire. But can I tell you this? That's not the way to stay. That is a necessary evil of being a human being in a very human world. But that's not the way we stay. You see, there's another lady in this story that she came into Bethlehem and she was bitter. And she was depressed and she was down and she was discouraged. And so much so that she said, don't call me by my name no more. Call me Mara. Because God's dealt harshly. But at the same time, there was a little Ruth who was just sowing and working and laboring. Smile on her face the whole way. And because of little Ruth, bitter Naomi became happy Naomi once again. So is it coincidence or is it design? Are you praying for revival? Or are you just expecting it to happen? Maybe we're relying on somebody else. Heard we talked a little bit about givers and takers this morning in teen Sunday school class. Sounded like it was good. Are we actively sowing in our lives things that we know are going to bring about the results we want? How many wants to walk closer to God? That's a good, easy question to ask because we should all raise our hands on that. How many's arrived? Has anybody arrived? Okay, good. We're all honest in here. Because I thought I was fixing to have to preach about honesty, but no. we all understand we can be closer to God. You know, we could get very personal and very detailed with things that we need to see happen in our lives. But are we sowing things into our lives that are going to give us the desired results we want? You see, in Trailblazer Homes, I could sit at the house and wait for the leads to come in. And I could wait, Brother Matthew, and I could wait, and I could wait, and I could wait. And I could sit there and say, man, how come there's no leads coming in? You know, how come we're not making any sales? How come, you know, we're not signing any new jobs? And I'd look at Sister Lindsay, and I was like, how much money's in the bank? She says, well, there's nothing in there. And I'm like, well, boy, that's a problem. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, how are we going to exist? And the whole time I could sit there at the house and fret and worry and stress and try to figure out why in the world we can't land any leads. And then all of a sudden realize I never put in the effort to generate any leads. So church, I want to challenge you tonight. I know we're not shouting and swinging off the chandeliers. And Sister Lindsay, you're coming back to the piano this evening. I want to challenge you tonight to the effect that if you want to see revival, you need to sow to revival. And you know what? The Bible says if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal their lands. What is God telling us there? He's telling us that revival, it can be had if you want to sow the proper things into it. He said, well, Brother Jason, I want to see somebody come to church. That's good. Invite them. It's really, you said, well, Brother Jason, I invited and they didn't come. That's okay. That's okay. You see, there was multiple days that went by that Ruth gleaned in the fields before she became the wife of Boaz. But it didn't mean that she just sat at home and said, oh, Boaz is coming. Boaz is coming. Yeah. Boaz is going to come. You know, I wished for it. And I know he seen me, and I know Boaz is going to come. It's not what she did. She went back out the next day, and she went back out the next day. She went back out the next day, and she went out the next day, and she went out again, and all up to the point of putting in the effort to make that promise become a reality. He said, well, Brother Jason, God's promised me my children, or Brother Jason, God's promised me my family, or Brother Jason, God's promised me this, or God's promised me that. Well, I want to tell you something. Hang on to the promise. But don't sit back and wait for it to happen. You see, God is interested in His church investing in their own future. And I can tell you tonight, if we want to see God move, we got to be willing to make the investment in making it happen. When God begins to stir your heart, we don't just sit by and say, well, you know, God, move me. God's not going to move you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to touch you. But who's got to make the effort? Well, I've got to make the effort. Brother Isaac, do I write you a paycheck just for you to show up? He says, no, sir. Brother Titus, do I write you a paycheck just to show up? No. What do you do when you show up?
Find out what we need to do to get it done.
That's right. What's going on there? Well, they understand that in order to earn, they have to invest. I want to encourage you, church. If you need a miracle in your life, invest in that miracle. If you need a blessing from God, invest in that blessing. If you need an answer, you need some direction, you need some guidance, invest in the answer. God's looking for a people, God's looking for a church who understands that it's not going to coincidentally happen. It happens because you invested in it. And when God brings your answer, and God brings your miracle, and God brings the souls, and God brings revival, it's not just because He loved you, it's not just because He's blessing you. He's doing it because you put in the work, you put in the effort, you made the effort to do it, you put in the investment. You said, God, whatever it is, I want you to do it in me. Hey, you know what? Yes, I need to get on my personal devotions. I need to put more effort into church. I need to invest in my children. I need to invest in my family. You know what? I'm telling you tonight, when you begin to invest the way God says to invest, and when you put in the effort that God asks you to put in, He will not leave you hanging. Because His kingdom works off of a grand design. Stand to your feet tonight. I want to work in His grand design. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. Brother Tim, I'm not a good man in and of myself. I've got to put in the effort to be the good man. But Brother Robert, when I'm putting in the effort to be the good man, what direction do my steps go? Well, they go in His will. Gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer. Let's work, church. Let's invest. Let's put in the effort. Let's understand that what we sow, that's what we reap. And when I sow to my spirit, and I feed that spiritual man, I feed that man that God wants me to be. Well, He orders my steps. He said, Brother Jason, I need a miracle. I need some answers. I need God to move. I want to encourage you tonight. Invest. Put in the effort. You say, well, Brother Jason, I'm not sure exactly what I need to do. I can tell you this. You get in your word. You get in God's word. There is a blueprint to doing what God wants us to do in order to get the results we need to see. I want to encourage us tonight. Get in the middle of His grand design.